than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All right, we got three games down. The Ravens have had their two home games in Baltimore, and they are still looking good in the preseason, but the Ravens are staying busy. We've got new contracts. We've got some injuries, unfortunately, that we got to talk about. We got some people returning to practice. Joining me, as always, to talk about it all, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. How was your weekend, my friend?
It was an unexpected weekend. Let me tell you that. All right.
Unexpected. I mean, weekend's always here. We expect it.
Let me tell you, this was a crazy, out of the blue weekend, especially a Saturday. So we have gushed over Jimmy's Seafood. You know, you and I are big fans. We've been there for games.
Of course.
Great food. They have given free crab cakes for life for a couple Ravens, Eric Weddle being one of them, Macklin
Jake
being
Davis
another. Chris Davis got it. That's right. Well, they held a Twitter contest, said retweet this tweet and you'll get two passes to the tailgate and two tickets to last Saturday's game. And of all people to win, my mom won those tickets. And so we went to go pick them up and she said, do you want to go? Because, you know, I don't think I can make the all the events or whatever on Saturday. So I was like, yeah, absolutely. So out of the blue, I get two tickets to a Ravens tailgate. That's all you can drink, all you can eat. And I have two tickets to the game. Little do I know, those two tickets are seven rows from the grass in the end zone.
Wow. Yeah, I remember you texted me a picture of the seats, and I'm like, wow, man.
I have never sat that close for a Ravens game before. You and I went to that Ravens-Jets game, and we were probably like maybe, what, 20, 25 rows off the grass, and it was...
And we were surprised at those seats.
Yes.
That was Jimmy's. Yeah, that was nuts.
I could hear Sam Cook's kick on the ball. I could hear the ball hitting people in the chest. I could hear the clashes of equipment. I got a great view of the cheerleaders, which is always nice.
And the Raven. I saw you text me a picture of our mascot.
Oh, that's right. I saw Rise and Conquer, who you guys can check out from our old interview from last year on YouTube. That was an unexpected night completely. Here's the other unexpected thing. I go on to Instagram, and I see that Bonchan is showing the fight in Canton, the McGregor-Mayweather fight. And me and my buddy were deciding, like, do we stay for the whole game? These seats are amazing. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, really. Well, you do want to see the fight. That's once-in-a-lifetime. So we went there, and Bonchan, number one, probably shouldn't say this, but showed it for free. And had like 10 people there. So it was not a crowded bar, nothing like that. The fight was on for free. We got some good food. I wasn't expecting to do any of that on Saturday night, but it was all around a great night.
Wow. The only way you can beat that is actually maybe like going to Ravens playoff game or even the Super Bowl. But man, you had a incredible weekend, man. You were blessed with those two opportunities and sitting that close, and you said you can hear the equipment clash, and I would say that's incredible for a preseason game to even hear that, but I would say regular season game, you're probably not getting to hear all that, maybe subtly because of the crowd noise and how intense it is, but to hear that, to be that close, I mean, I was that close for a Monday night game. Remember the infamous, I think it was during the undefeated season the Patriots had, remember the Monday night game where Bart Scott threw the flag and we almost beat him, we should have beat him?
Yes.
I was four rows from the front, and like maybe it's the same end zone you were in. I can maybe bust out the picture I can find and post it on the call Facebook page. It was kind of like I got a great shot of the Ravens defense. Ray Lewis is back to me, and Tom Brady under center pointing. So it was like one of the greatest shots because the Patriots were on the goal line there. So I agree with you. It's a great experience down there because you're so close to the action. You can't get any better than that. Like I said, Jimmy's just sounds like from preseason to regular season, away games even, they do it right and get the best seats in the house, man. Good. That's awesome. And before we even get started with Raven stuff, what did you think of the fight?
The fight, I will say McGregor definitely surprised me. You know, I said on here last week, I figured Mayweather was going to win. I'm not shocked that he won. I think, you know, he does play the long game. And typical McGregor, you watch fights of him in the UFC, same thing happened. Dude gets winded. If those fights go a long time, he doesn't have that stamina that a lot of guys probably do. I will say McGregor looked good for a guy who has never boxed before. He landed, what, 110 punches, which is more than Pacquiao did against Mayweather. So I want to say it's a win for everybody, really. I mean, yes, McGregor didn't win the fight, but he looked great. He proved a lot of people wrong. Mayweather proved a lot of people wrong and a lot of people right, and did what he was always going to do and looked great in the ring. I thought, from never watching boxing really before, I was impressed with everybody involved.
I couldn't agree with you more on that assessment. I mean, right from the get-go, I remember McGregor landed that uppercut, and I'm like, are you kidding me? He's going to give him rush for his money. He was bigger, his physical, his reach. And I'm like, and then I have to say the first two out of three rounds were McGregor. They had the fight tied for the scorecard halfway through, and then you're right. Fatigue started to set in, and basically McGregor just got winded, and pretty much that's where Mayweather's expertise came into play. And Mayweather, as you said, he had 49 previous bouts, and you can see it. I've never seen Mayweather go on the offensive like that in recent years. He pretty much plays that defensive game and then obviously wins the fight that way, you know, get hit, not get hit. He was getting hit, so apparently in the later rounds, he had to create the offensive and say, you know what, I got to go after this guy. And obviously the ref did what he did to stop it. I know McGregor was like, no, let me fight, let him knock me out. I wish they didn't stop it, but I felt like he did tag him on that one, and McGregor stumbled back, and the ropes, I think, saved him. And I think if it went another 30 seconds or so to a minute, I think Floyd would have scored a good knockout on him and knocked him flat out. But
do you think that they did that for McGregor to kind of save face? You know, the fact that he didn't get knocked out, so maybe one day he could come back to boxing and fight somebody else?
It's a great question. I've even wondered that, and I think he was even asked in the post-fight. I don't think he's coming back to boxing. If he does, that would be a surprise for me personally. But you heard him. He's not done in the UFC. He's absolutely going back to UFC. He proved his point. He got, like you said, and what class did both fighters show after the fight? They weren't bitter rivals. They weren't cussing each other. They weren't, you know, at each other's throats like, you beat me, I want a rematch. It was like they were hugging, laughing, shaking hands, and what sportsmanship. I mean, like you said, at the end of the day, I saw a post and it was kind of funny on social media, but it was like, you know, two guys who hustled the country in the $400 million heist. But I mean, but look, you're right. Both of them win. McGregor has a once in a lifetime payout. They go 10 rounds with the best. Mayweather got his prize, and to go 50-0 to have it like that. What an overall win for just the sport. And the fans got what they see. It was a great fight. Everybody that I watched it with, we were clapping. We were entertained from the whole way. But a couple things here before we move into the Ravens news, obviously, and get to the meat and potatoes there. But two things I want to cover. And I tweeted this out before I looked up and saw what he was wearing. But how about the guy from Baltimore kind of representing us and wearing what, like a Cookie Monster outfit? What was that?
That's what I was thinking. Cookie Monster.
I tweeted it, looked up. I was like, Baltimore representing. I looked up. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, wish I can take that back. I can delete it, but it was there. But it was kind of like, ew. But apparently he won on like a fluke, so it was a weird fight. But it's always good to root for a hometown guy, but really, you had to do something like that.
Yeah, I wasn't real happy with that fight, but and what he was wearing, I was...
And then the whole thing was just bad, flat out bad. And also, when they asked you too, being like you said, you never really watched the boxing match, but did you, like you said, apart from who was involved in it, did you enjoy it? Did you kind of know what was going on? I mean, not to say you're ignorant to the sport, I'm sure you probably watched one before, but, you know, did you rather enjoy it watching it? Was it entertaining for you, being like you're kind of brand new?
I did enjoy it, but in a different way than I enjoy UFC. Like, yes, this fight was fun to watch, but I watch UFC and wrestling kind of for, like, the pageantry and the entrances and, like, the attitude and the atmosphere. And boxing is very old school. It's very much nothing else matters except for what's going on in the ring. And while I did enjoy what was going on in the ring, I did miss the other stuff, the music, the entrances, the attitude, all that kind of good stuff. That's what I really go into. You kind of want that drama outside the ring to lead it in, so like what was going on in the ring was like the finale almost.
You know, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do understand where you come from, and I saw you posted the picture. But how about Ray getting in on the action? I know they showed a cutaway of him on a cell phone, and how about him getting the WBC belt afterwards? And I saw you posted the picture on our Facebook. Man, how cool was that?
Yeah, you know, everybody loves Ray Lewis, and of course he would be one of the guys to watch that fight. He's built for that world.
And he sure is, and I've always said McGregor. You know, kind of crossing over. I think McGregor, obviously, when he's done, should go in the WWE. And I've always said Suggs has that personality, too. He's featured on Ballers. If you haven't been getting in the show, he's been featured on one of the past episodes, getting in character. It's been pretty fun to watch him in Ballers this past season. But no, one last thing to do and segue into Ray and the Ravens and all that. But apparently he was at practice this past Tuesday.
That's right. There's some pictures floating out on Twitter that he was visiting the team, and he was visiting with some old friends. You saw pictures of him talking with CJ Mosley. And man, this is a great time for Ray Lewis to stop by training camp, just for the sheer fact that you got a lot of rookies. You got a lot of guys who are fighting for spots. And who else better to motivate than Ray Lewis?
Who better? I don't see any reason for it, and for him coming out, other than pure motivation, pure nostalgia, but also just to be a presence around. And you're right, to get the rookies who've never been a part of the culture around here. Yeah, they see the highlights, they hear the speeches on YouTube, they see the statue out front, they see his name in the Ring of Honor, and then obviously, you know, he'll be in the Hall of Fame next year. But they now get to see, you know, retired general roaming around in practice and really leading. I heard he spoke to the team. If you had to find a clip about it or what that speech was about, but I'm sure it was about, you know, I heard it was all about leadership, and it, what a great way, less than 2 weeks out for the season, in which, you know, we've had a number of injuries, and we'll definitely get to that. That, you know, Ray Lewis will speak to the team right before our final preseason game. It's just great to have him in the area, him at practice. Of course, all these greats are always welcome back. I know Ed Reed was present at the one of the stadium practices this year, so it's good to see our legends are back, still involved, being around the team, getting them motivated. And not to say you're bringing in our old legends to motivate the team, because we do need it, but, you know, it's been dire straits around here. A lot of people getting injured, and I don't know if you saw this. I don't know how early you were in the stadium, but did you see, speaking of leadership, did you see, even though it's a preseason game, did you see Suggs bringing together the team and doing a speech like it was a real game?
I did see that. And
yeah, and then that's usually when they play that Dark Knight theme, is usually that's when the cue is, when the team huddles up. And usually when Ray does that, that's what got me shooting through the roof, because it was like, you know, Ray used to do what Suggs is doing, and you get the Dark Knight theme, and he's firing up the troops. It just, it's awesome to see. That's why I always like to go in early to see that. It's like a tradition for me, and it's just, you like to see the torch passed, and I just really can't wait to get it going. But I'm telling you what, we're three down, one to go, and man, it feels good right now to get these games out of the way. And win's a win. I know we're undefeated. And the way this team comes back and plays, I mean, you always want to win games, and 3-0 is a lot better than 0-3. But again, score doesn't matter. What matters is, hey, are we making plays on the field? How dominant are we? But boy, for all the complaining that we, you know, the fans did in the draft, oh, we didn't draft offense, everybody on social media is praising the defense and saying how good and nasty we are. And I'm like, I told you so. This is why we did it.
The defense absolutely looks great, but I do want to bring up one guy who unfortunately is missing the entire season, Albert McClellan, a linebacker. He's going to miss the entire 2017 season with a torn ACL. What kind of damage does that do to the team? Because he was a huge part of special teams as well as his normal spot.
Well, it's detrimental to the team as well as our success. I mean, we want to be a top unit in the NFL, and losing one of our starting linebackers definitely doesn't help that cause. Again, cliche, next man up. It's big and huge because our linebacking core, I think, is thin. You're going to have the upcomers coming up. I mean, I heard a lot of good things about Tyus Bowser. I heard a lot of great things about Brent Urban. Brent Urban's been having a great preseason. So a lot of the guys are going to have to step up. And I feel like, again, I hate the comparisons. I see it on Ravens.com. And again, it's fun to talk about. But the comparisons to 2000 and all that, I don't want to go there, and I'm not. I'm going to say that because 2000, unless you can go 4 shutouts, go 12-4, win all those games straight with, you know, obviously we had no Stover, had to kick our way to some offense, but you held opponents to 165 total points in 16 games with 4 shutouts, including a 16-0 against the Pittsburgh Steelers start season. So it's like the way that defense is, you can't touch them. But I look at comparisons of how 2012 – who can forget Paul Kruger, how crucial he was? Brent Urban reminds me of a Paul Kruger. You look at some of the parts, and I feel like they can make a difference. I feel like a Tyus Bowser could be a Courtney Upshaw, a difference maker. I feel like these guys are making plays. I feel like Jalen Hill, he's making plays out there. I feel like there are playmakers on this team that are going to surprise. And I don't like the comparisons. I never will do that. I just hate it because you can't. You know, 2000 was 2000, but I like the comparisons as we need to turn back the clock to get back to defense. It's back to take care of the football. We're not going to be flashy offense since Flacco's just now starting to throw in practice, and we're less than 2 weeks out. You know, we need our number 5 under center. The offense has issues with injuries, defensive issues with injuries. I mean, we just got to have next man up again, as always. But Alvin McClellan, man, what a huge blow. I mean, we were just getting off the injury talk, and then here goes another ACL. And these ACL injuries, man, like we were talking at work. You can hurt them, you know, getting out of your chair, getting out of bed wrong, you know, going down the stairs if you turn. I mean, these injuries are easy and they're serious. So got to take care of that. But in football, they're the most common injury, if not the most injury I see all the time. How many ACLs and PCLs and MCLs have I seen already on the injury report, not only our team, but across the NFL? I mean, Julian Edelman, Spencer Ware. I mean, there's a lot of players now that just had torn, blown knees. And just remember our own players. Remember Ladarius Webb and other players. It's a hard injury to recover from. It can't happen. I mean, Joe Flacco's recovering from it. And I feel like, again, we got to get over that hump, but it's going to be a huge loss without McClellan out there, man. I really love this play.
It's really amazing just league-wise that the ACL injury is coming up so much, because it's a lot of these guys are hurting these muscles and tearing these muscles, and it's not in contact. Like, it's not a contact blow, and then they go down, and then that they're it for the year. This is a lot of non-contact injuries. Do you think potentially it's because there's more stress on the legs, because these guys are changing how they're playing, because there's so much emphasis on not hitting in the head anymore?
I think so. I mean, it has to be. There's got to be something, whether it's the way they're practicing, the way that's conditioning, something's got to give, and something, there's a science to it all, because I really told you this a few shows ago, and I keep saying it. I don't remember a year where we sat here and covered injury after injury after injury. I mean, you look at the Super Bowl year. I mean, well, Darius Webb went down, obviously, Ray Lewis went down. Those are fluke plays. I mean, things happen for a reason there, but it's, you know, and remember Suggs and Steve Smith with the Achilles in back to back. It was like, man, you know, the Achilles is a little weak, so you got to look at that. But it just seems like a lot of the leg injuries were common, especially in the ligaments and where the ankles are and the knees, because that's your livelihood. You know, obviously, you know, using a lot of juke moves, a lot of planting, stepping, and turning your body. Receivers, you know, you're running route, you're planting your foot, turning on a bubble screen or something, and Your cleat gets caught in the grass, you slip, boom, you're done. Wet grass is always a very scary thing. You know, loose grass, as I've seen in some fields. So playing conditions also play a factor. Sleet, snow, rain, it's very difficult. I played in it before in lacrosse. It's tough with cleats. You can have the world's best cleats, but nothing's going to prevent you from some, you know, freak accident, Mother Nature colliding with another player. But I don't want to say it's, again, going to collective bargaining agreement. I don't know with the change in the practice pace and pads versus non-pads and 2-a-days and 3-a-days. I don't know, but I'm not a player. I don't know the in and outs of that. But we have to look at a study, because I feel like every year it's getting worse.
Yeah, and you did bring up Tyus Bowser, and you're bringing up, you know, wet grass and rain and everything. I do want to take a quick minute. Tyus Bowser went to the University of Houston, and of course, everyone knows what's going on in Houston right now, recovering from the hurricane. It's still raining there. If you can, give to the American Red Cross. Anything can really help. Donate clothes, money, whatever you can do. Think of the people and the animals and everything there. So if you are listening to us in Texas, or if you are from the Houston area, just know that our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family. So
absolutely, Brandon.
Just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you, Brandon, for that. And I definitely, definitely want to touch on that. I mean, it's just, I remember how it was years back with Katrina in New Orleans, and the city had to recover. It took years, and they're probably still doing it today. Thoughts and prayers go out to all, you know, homes lost, family could be displaced. I don't know the magnitude of that, but just, you know, heavy hearts and prayers, you know, over here. And, you know, you're not forgotten. And I've actually taken the initiative, obviously, that, you know, that I'm moving this week, and some of the old clothes that I don't want or need, I'm trying to figure out how to donate them to Texas, because I'm like, why give them the Goodwill here? Why try to sell them on eBay for a buck when families are in need? And I'm definitely going to try to see what I can do there of donating my own old stuff. And it's definitely going to be a blessing to touch somebody. And couldn't imagine, man. I can't believe it's still raining. Over 50 inches of rain. I know the Texans, their schedule got altered just like the Saints did years back, because, you know, they have to practice. I think they're practicing at Cowboys facility and sharing the facilities there. And who knows what's going to happen with games in Houston, being that we're 2 weeks out. I don't know the Houston Texans schedule. I know they play here on Monday night back in November, or late November here, Thanksgiving weekend. But other than that, stay tuned. If you're a Houston Texans fan and you happen to listen to the show, keep us abreast on the situation, the pulse of the team. I'm definitely going to try to go, but stay tuned for that, because obviously they have to work around that. And I've heard a lot of great things. I mean, I think Houston Texans themselves donated $1 million. The Astros and Rockets are up in the multi-million dollars donating money, and it's just coming in. And I just want to say thoughts and prayers out there from Ravens Nation out to Houston and abroad.
Absolutely. So you brought up Jalen Hill, a rookie cornerback, and he went undrafted this year. Nobody really called him after the draft. Like, nothing was really going to happen. And then he comes out. He's got two interceptions in the first three preseason games. Had a great interception this past Saturday. I got to imagine this guy makes the 53-man roster. What do you think?
I think he does. The kids showed something special. Very, very special talent there. He had a great game on Saturday night and under the lights in M&T Bank for a final preseason game at home. And I was just tickled to death by what I seen. And I have to feel like if he's not one of the 53 men to lead us, I'm going to be very shocked. Very solid playmaking abilities. I feel he's going to make an impact on the team. What do you think, man?
He definitely has a chance to. I mean, cornerback is definitely pretty stocked right now, but we're always looking for players. I mean, look, who are some of the players that went down? What was his name? Tavon Young. You know, there was potential of him going to that cornerback position, and he went out with a torn ACL early on. So there's always a good time to have somebody backing people up. And who knows? I mean, this guy might get opening night minutes, but he's an undrafted rookie. The Ravens have always taken at least one undrafted rookie onto their 53-man roster. And after this guy's performance on Saturday, I got to assume he's going to be the guy.
Has to be. I mean, undoubtedly unquestioned. I mean, if he's not, he better be a 1A or a good second, because if he's not, I'm going to be very shocked. Remember how it was, I think it was last year, 2 years ago, was it? I expected Jarrod Powers to make the team, and remember, he was one of the surprise cuts, and then I think he was welcomed back to the team, I think, a few weeks later. So it was kind of like you see these cuts, and you're like, they cut him? And you're like, no, he had a great So it's almost like if you see somebody perform well and they cut him, there's got to be a business move. Remember how we were freaking out a couple years ago, or even was I think last year. Remember Justin Forsett got cut? Yeah. Everybody's like, what are they doing? And then they re-signed him. Again, panic, but it was a business move. They did it to restructure his contract and did it for a money and a business move. So the Ravens know what they're doing. I mean, we're not running an NFL franchise. They are. They get paid the big bucks to do it. I couldn't imagine how to do it. We think we might, but again, we're here to break it down with opinions and assessments and help us figure it all out, you know, as fans alike. And let them do what they got to do. But I think the best 53 men are going to be on that field in about a week.
Now, will one of those 53 men as a backup be Josh Woodrum, not Danny Woodrum, like I said last week, like an idiot? Josh Woodrum, we saw him get some minutes with the first line offense as it stands right now. Malik came out a little bit early. They gave Woodrum some time with the first string guys. I personally didn't think Josh really set the world on fire. I think he had a pretty good showing, but nothing really made me go, yes, this guy's our number two. I mean, Mallett, he struggled, but in between the two, I still think Mallett has the job.
I don't know. I said it sitting there in the preseason game number three. I feel like Mallett, we're going to disagree on this one. I mean, you probably can't go wrong with both. Both are a formidable backup, but I feel like Mallett has more of that happy feet. And I said, yeah, I can pull. And I sat right there in the stadium and I said, let's pull up some Kyle Bowler highlights. He reminds me exactly how Kyle Bowler played football. You've seen flashes of brilliance. He put some good balls up there. But when he's in the pocket, he didn't go through his reads. There was a couple that Mal left on the table. Me, I have a bird's eye view sitting up top where my seats are, and I have a great view of the field. So I can see, oh, read this guy. Look to your left. No, he's like looking down the middle and then like dumps it off to like the fullback and he gets his happy feet and he's like, oh, I'm about to get that. And he like throws it quickly. And I'm like, dude, stay in the pocket, be confident, be poised, and look at your reads. I don't know if it, again, it's a design play, but his body language and his play seem to determine that he breaks down and just panics and just chucks the ball. And that's what I've seen. I mean, Woodrum, I feel like he has more of the running skill set,
yeah,
as we've seen with the bootleg, yeah, and more, maybe a little bit better decision making, but they're, I don't think they're such separated where one's going to be blessed with number two versus number three. I mean, I think flip a coin, you couldn't go wrong with either one, but I'd lean more towards Woodrum from what I've seen versus Mallett.
I wouldn't be happy with either of them starting. I will say no. That. Well, as a backup, you know, yeah, Mallett probably knows the system a little bit more, but Woodrum, he could be one of those guys that, you know, they show off in the preseason, he gets cut, and he becomes a backup, you know, maybe with, like, the Buccaneers or something. He definitely has the ability to make a team and potentially down the road be a really good player. But I don't know. He hasn't shown me enough to have Mallett go away, I guess.
I can see where you're coming from there, but I think both make the roster because we need three quarterbacks because we just don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of uncertainty with Flacco that a lot of Raiders were saying it was like a Perryman mystery injury, like, oh, he's only gonna be out a week and then, oh, they're gonna keep my preseason. I liked how the team's handling it. Here's why, is because you have to be careful with your assets. Number five is basically the main asset on offense right now. You can't be too careful. Preseason's preseason. We've seen all these fluke injuries. Julian Edelman gets hurt. Spencer Ware, all these starters are getting hurt. Cameron Meredith on the Bears, he's hurt. Another ACL injury, all these knee injuries. So in order to prevent that, because if some defense rears back, it pins back his ears and go, number five is wide open in the backfield, and they're going to go after him a sack, and they crack his back, he could be out for the year, and then we're having a different show where all the fans are pissed off. We're mad because why are we playing Joe Flacco? He don't need playing time. So, but then here's the other side. People are still complaining about it. So I feel like no matter what the Ravens do, you're going to have those negative people, and I hate that. But let the team do it. They're handling it the best way I think they are. But he's just now starting to throw, and I hear two stories, man. I hear, oh, well, there's no timetable for his return. Then I hear Harbaugh say, oh, he's on track for week one. No worries. He'll be practicing next week. We'll get him. You know, everybody's worried about up to speed. There is no up to speed. It's Flacco. I'm just concerned that I want him at game speed in real time going to week one against Cincinnati. But what's good about the Cincinnati game, and we can kind of do a little peek preview here, because not to look over the fourth preseason game, but really that's going to be final roster spots solidified. But with they're out Pat-Man Jones, and now Fontis Perfect is facing a 5-game suspension. So they're without that crazy, crazy linebacker they got. So maybe that bodes well for us, because maybe Joe won't get hurt as much.
Yeah, that's definitely something that concerns me, is that they announced, we're recording this on Tuesday the 29th, that Joe was returning to practice, as in he was throwing the ball around a little bit. He is not in a full team practice yet.
No.
But with one preseason game left and then the regular season right around the corner, the dude's going to need to practice with his team because he's going to need to get into playing shape again. I don't think Joe Flacco is sitting on his couch eating Doritos by any means, but, you know, he's going to have to get out there. He's going to have to twist that back around a little bit. He's going to have to put all of his force into throwing that long ball. And if he's not ready to do that by week one, that's definitely going to hurt the team and it's going to affect the team in a bad way. So I want to see Joe Flacco back as quickly as possible, but it does worry me that he's just kind of throwing the ball around now with still just a week of preseason left.
I agree wholeheartedly, man. I mean, I'm concerned as much as anybody here. I'm not trying to discount that. It's just it is the way they're handling it. I mean, what would we do if we were GM or managing the team and our star quarterback's got back issues? Would we want to thrust them in there? All the injuries, I don't like that, but you're right. It's concerning to see that he's just picking up the ball, throwing it in the backyard. He's not, like you said, eating Doritos on the couch watching these preseason games. And he's and even there was an article, I think, 2 weeks ago. Ravens.com published it, and they interviewed Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace says, you're going to be surprised. I think the Ravens are keeping this close to the chest, as they always do. I think they're letting us report in the media report what they feel should be reported, but I feel like the Ravens aren't giving the full story. I can almost guarantee you he's probably practicing, whether it's full pads or almost, they're on the side. They're just not reporting it because I feel like going into two straight divisional games to start the season, especially one on the road, I feel like they're trying to, you know, they're giving it just enough, but they don't want to give the full report because maybe if they go, oh, he's 100% healthy, the Bengals are going to, you know, rear back. So I feel like, or maybe they're unleashing a weapon. Maybe they're getting him ready, and then maybe he's going to come out throw an 80-yard touchdown the first pass, and we're going to go, oh, Joe Flacco's fine. You know, he kept him under wraps. I mean, I don't know, and we won't know until first play under snap in Cincinnati in less than 2 weeks, which is awesome. But we got to get through preseason game number four. On the preview of that, we're going down to New Orleans. It seems like we always go to New Orleans preseason, or they come up here. It's weird. Or we play the Redskins. It's always weird there. But we go back, of course. It's always fun to talk about back to the site of Super Bowl 47. A lot of veterans, I don't know if they'll make the trip. I think the full team will, but they won't be dressed. You're not going to expect to see the first team defense, not the first team offense. You're going to see a lot of Woodrum, Mallett, obviously, on offense. You're going to see a lot of, like you said, Jalen Hill. You're going to see a lot of Adebayo. You're going to see him there trying to make the team and impress to see what he can bring. You're going to see a lot of the up-and-comers try to make their push because there's going to be a big purge here of over 1,000 NFL players being let go all at once by the teams, and they're doing it a little bit differently where instead of going from, you know, all the way down to 75 and 75 to 53, they're going from over 90 players all the way down to 53 and letting a whole bunch of people go at the same time this week. So it's going to be a busy transaction week this week coming up, so we're going to stay tuned if there's any surprises, and we'll definitely cover the roster cuts, previewing the regular, coming off of that, and then getting a preview show for the regular season. So next week's it, man. It's once we get through Sunday and we wake up Monday morning, it's game week. It's opening week in Cincinnati, man. We're right here, bro. How's it feel? It's awesome.
I'm excited. I definitely am ready for some regular season football. Yeah, preseason's been fun. I've enjoyed the two games I got to go to, but still, I want that regular season rush, and I can't wait to see all the crazy things Baltimore's going to be doing in the next couple weeks before the Ravens start up the regular season. But before we get out of here, I do want to bring up Ronnie Stanley and Marlon Humphrey. Both returned to practice this week. Stanley has been limited in his practice, but Marlon Humphrey, he's been completely he's in full team drills. Doesn't look like he's getting hurt at all, or whatever injury he had is making him less slow or anything like that. What's it mean to have these two guys back? Because even though they're great, both great players, Ronnie Stanley, I feel as if it's not just because I just purchased his jersey last week or anything, but I think he's going to be key to Joe Flacco's success in the regular season because he's got to protect Joe, especially Joe coming off this undisclosed weird back injury. Stanley's got to be there standing in front of him to make sure he doesn't get hit. So I want to see Stanley back as quickly as possible, but having these two guys back in practice has to be a good sign, I think.
Oh, it's a very good sign because we need all the troops available, and it's a great sign, number one, not only to see Stanley in his sophomore year coming back, but it solidifies the line where our line's one of our weakest points of the team right now. You know, being that we have a number of linemen down and shuffling the deck there. Marlon Humphrey, our rookie, where we drafted him, first round draft pick. We want him there to start. We want him there not even to start, but maybe in a nickel package on the starting defense. We need all hands, man. And for these guys, sophomore and rookie, respectively, to make an impact, we need it, man. We need the youthfulness. We need the resurgence going back to the youth and getting younger faster. And I really think it's going to be good for us. We need everybody healthy. I mean, the last thing we want to do is have a laundry list of injury reports that who's not practicing, who's playing in Cincinnati. And it's like concerning that, hey, if we're going to have five back under center and Ronnie Stanley ain't going to protect him, we're going to have fun talking about that, how many times Flacco's been hurried or sacked. So count them up. It'll happen. So we need them all, and it can't be a greater breath of fresh air to hear that, you know, just the cusp of the season we're getting healthier, or if we can stay as healthy as we can, all systems are going to be fine or firing on all cylinders going into Cincinnati, man.
Absolutely. So last thing, a little bit of news. Coach Harbaugh, he got a contract extension. His current contract was set to expire after the 2018 season. He got one more year after that. What's your thoughts on Harbaugh's contract extension? Because last year and even this offseason, a lot of fans, us included, brought up the fact that he may be on the hot seat. Is this just a way to for Steve Bisciotti to tell Harbaugh he's got his back and that he supports him in whatever he's going to do? Or are you a little surprised that it was only a year extension and not something longer?
I'm not surprised a year extension. Here's why. Because of that, it's kind of like a way of a good faith saying, we're not going to give you longer till you prove to us that you can lead the team to the playoffs, especially with all the injuries. But it's a good faith thing, because there was a lot of clamoring with the media because of we won the Super Bowl. We made playoffs 5 years in a row under Harbaugh, and then five of the first 6 years. And all of a sudden, three out of the last 4 years, we haven't made it. Last time we went was 2014, where we beat the Steelers on a wild card game in Pittsburgh. I was there, and then I was there for a loss in Foxborough. Who could forget that? The 2 14-point leads. Let's lay that to rest. When we were up 20-14, who thought we would have lost that game? And then we haven't been back since. So we've had, you know, we've been 1-1 the last time we went since the Super Bowl win, and really haven't been back. We could have made it the last few years on a couple games we just missed. And that's what gives me hope. I like it because, and I guess this week I sound like the minority, which is odd, but I'm a big Harb supporter, man. I love the way he leads. I love the way he carries himself. You know, going back to 2007 and 2008, where, you know, we had the hiring of either Garrett or Harbaugh. We know the story. I've read it in the books. It's an awesome story if you haven't. I'm happy with the hire. He's been great since day one. Comes from a heavy football background, as we know, and I really tickled to death that they got it done. But maybe we keep him longer if we can get back to the playoffs this year, go into 2018, rebuild again, do it again, and duplicate it and stay on top, as the Ravens usually do. And who knows, maybe we can keep them all through 2020 and beyond. And it's kind of crazy, and you're talking about an extension, but if you look at the Ravens' history, we have a little over 20 years of history. Hard to believe he's only our third head coach in our history. Look at how – and just look in perspective. You might want to complain, but do you want to be – really, of all the Flacco haters, which I can count on, and I hate it, you can't be – I feel like you can't be a Ravens fan. And you, yeah, you can be critical of people. You can be – but don't say, well, I don't like our quarterback or I don't like our head coach, because how – I can really smash you and really debate you. How many head coaches have the Cleveland Browns had since their resurgence in 1999? How many quarterbacks, Brandon? So I don't want to be that team where, like the Eagles, or they hire Chip Kelly and then they fire him after 1 year. You need to give these guys a chance. And I'm very proud to know that we hired Ted Bruncher-Broda. He lasted till 3 years. I know he was on his last coach days. We hired Brian Billick. He was there for all those years. And then we hire Harbaugh in 08, and we're on the 2017 season. So I love how long these coaches stay with us. You know, apart from Tim Archibald starting the era of Ravens football, Brian Billick and John Harbaugh is it. And each head coach won a Super Bowl, one basically with a great defense, and he coached them up there. Yeah, and everybody clamors that Ray Lewis coached the team and all that. But look, Harbaugh has got his hands full, and I feel like he's the man to lead us, and I'm very happy that they got it done. But we're going to tack on 1 year, I think, to give us the benefit of the doubt, saying – and it takes pressure off of Harbaugh, man, because yeah. – Yeah, because he don't have the coach this year going, okay, well, this is my last year of my contract. If I don't make the playoffs, am I fired? Now it says, hey, we're giving you 2 years. You better do it this year. If not next year, we could either – they can terminate and fire him, but it's like, why would they offer him the contract extension? But I feel like it's a good faith thing. They're not going to give him the long term until they can prove.
Yeah, and that's the thing like the Capitals are going through right now with their head coach Barry Trotz. It's his contract year. No extension talk, nothing like that. It's pretty much if, you know, if you can't get it done this year, you there's a good chance he's going to hit the road. So I like that line of thought that they're doing that so Harbaugh can focus on this year and not have to worry about his contract right now. He can focus on the team. So that's some good strategy right there. I like that. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this week of preseason?
This week, man, we covered it. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please write an iTunes review and spread the word about the show. Let people know through social media on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, Reddit, Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Join our other fans. Talk with them. Discuss things going on with the Ravens. Whenever there's news, anything like that, we will tell you there. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. One more preseason game left. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so very much as always, man. It's always a great pleasure to do the call with you, and we're wrapping up preseason, guys. This is it. Can't be more pleased that we're getting to the end of the line there. I mean, we've been along all season, and we're finally here. Enjoy some good, wholesome Ravens football. Yeah, it's that fourth game where it's like, really, can we just get this out of the way? Trust me, I know. But we're less than 2 weeks away. Just think, we're playing football this week, but then right on Sunday – we can start the countdown, man. We're basically one Sunday away, and the countdown meter begins. And next week, Ravens Nation, it's game week. It's regular season week, and it's Cincinnati week, and it counts. And we're going to be covering it full-blown coverage on the calls always. Can't wait to get cranking, see how we do this week in New Orleans, evaluating the team needs, evaluating the players. It's going to be fun covering who makes the final 53. Love to hear you guys' thoughts on any bubble guys, who's in, who's out, who do you like to see make the team, who do you see not like to make the team, and really can't wait to see what you have to say. Go to call Facebook page, hit us up on Twitter, each handle obviously, and can't wait to get the conversation popping. And for all those who play fantasy out there, hope all your drafts have been doing well. It's been fun. Still got a few more to go through this weekend. Had a few last weekend. It's been fun. And always love talking fantasy football with all of our fans out there. And it's going to be a great, fun year. And with that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high through the last preseason game this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.